Spiegel at Holmes.
Good vibes, Ben.
Afternoons on the Score.
Hopefully some clarity. That's what we're looking for. You know, this thing's gone on now 3.5 weeks. And, you know, I said, and I'll say it again, we'll go as long as we need to go to find the right guy. But we'd like to see someone go ahead and make it clear to us that he is that guy. And we just haven't seen that yet as a staff. There's been too much up and down. And so, and it might be one of those things where when we make that decision, it's not final for the season. It could be we have to reassess after a couple of weeks of the season, or by the bye week, we might have to reassess. So it might be something that goes on. Wouldn't be ideal.
Bears training camp coverage on the scores presented by Chevy Drive Chicago, the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. It's the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We're here with you until 6 o'clock. The Bears play tonight at 7 o'clock out in Kansas City. That was Ben Johnson talking about the left tackle battle.
We know we're going to get the first team offense. We don't know how long. People can ask, and no one is really giving answers. I imagine that'll be sort of a feel thing for Ben Johnson. His main focus seems to be, Lawrence, going through the rhythms of a road game, getting a new game plan in, and watching them try to execute it. And then, of course, hoping that they play well and play in time and in sync in front of a road crowd, even though it won't be one with quite so much fervor.
Yeah, I like it. And he did it last week with the home game. Like, I was concerned going into the preseason of the idea of not playing guys, but I am on board with what the finished product has turned out to be in the preseason.
Getting some reps in week two and in week three.
And for a purpose, the purpose of let's actually do a dress rehearsal. This is what it's like on game day here for us. This is what it feels like. This is how we're going to react. This is what it's like for us on a road game and doing the dress rehearsal for that. And then using your joint practices to figure some stuff out. So now that we've got the mosaic, I am okay with how all of this has gone.
Oh, man, I like that. Mosaic, it's with the little tiles that they put on top of the glaze, right? Like put the glaze
in
there.
Well, it means a lot of different things. Like we can use it in all sorts of ways, meaning like seeing the whole picture.
Sure, yeah, you were using it figuratively.
Yeah.
I went literal.
Also, yes.
I went literal.
There's the literal
you.
Of the mosaic.
I'll do that. Danger.
Will Robinson?
I will go literal on you when you least expect it. But yeah, no, all right, so there we are. So we've got a few things to sort through. There are some positions of consequence where they're working some things out tonight. I don't know how much of Braxton Jones we'll see, but we'll see Theo Benedet behind him at left tackle. We're done seeing Ozzie Trapillo at left tackle, it seems, right?
It does seem that way. And I was thinking about this a little bit this morning. Like, I'm sitting there going, look, I think everyone was like, they could use an upgrade at left tackle. Not that Braxton is bad, but they could use an upgrade at left tackle. Now, the Bears chose to go guard to guard. We're going to upgrade guard to guard. And maybe we'll upgrade at left tackle with a second round pick. I wonder now, with a little bit of time and distance from the end of last season, Braxton Jones has been a darling of the PFF crowd for a long time. Understanding the relationship between the sacks and Caleb last year, if with the upgrades guard to guard, are you okay? I don't want to say, do you feel great? Because I don't think any of us feel great about it. Ben doesn't even feel great about the left tackle position. But do you feel better now than, let's say, February, when you're getting ready for free agency and you're saying, man, they could really use some help at left tackle if there's one out there?
Yes, absolutely.
And we're like, hey, is this guy going to sign an extension?
Sure.
And, you know, could they end up getting this guy? Like, all that stuff. But you're in a better place now?
Yeah, I am in a better place. I feel like upgrading the middle matters. I feel like quality of coaching matters. And Dan Rauschar and Ben and Declan, the whole offensive crew, but really specifically Dan Rauschar, and I like the staff. So I feel like that matters. And I feel like just even the way that Ben has talked about it, like teaching Braxton to lose slower, I liked the way that he talked about that.
It's a great concept.
It really is, because as long as, like, so don't just try to do everything you can to dominate your guy and pancake your guy or put him exactly where you need. Like, if he's got you, if you think he's got you and he's stronger, then just stay engaged. Just buy as much time as you can and know that your quarterback can step up in the middle because he's got, to your point, the upgraded line. It should be able to work in your favor. Lose a little slower and your quarterback can know what to do.
It's the idea of, like, if you're playing time chess, for example, if you lose your queen early, now a lot of people will just resign. I don't. This is one of my problems as a chess player, and also one of my greatest strengths.
Is that you don't resign?
That I can get creative. That's usually when I would play games with my dad, like, that would be the moment when I was like, oh, ah! And then I would focus.
Let me say, knowing you, that scream checks out.
Yeah.
You're like, some of the agony that's going on in there, letting it out.
And do you then give up the goal of mating the opponent and play for a stalemate?
Just get the stalemate and have that success.
And I mean, you can win a lot of matches that way. And to take that to what we're talking about in football.
Because your opponent might get tired. Your opponent might screw up because you're so relentless with your fight. I get it. It's good.
There's this great episode of Star Trek, because I'm a big Trekkie. It's funny. I found out that Dash was a Trekkie this week from our sister station, B96.
Uh-huh.
Not only is he a Trekkie, he has hung out with Sir Patrick Stewart.
Wow.
Yeah.
How'd you know he was a Trekkie? Was he walking around with those Vulcan ears on?
No.
Did he have a lightsaber or something?
That's different.
Did he order tea Earl Grey hot from the kitchen?
I actually had Earl Grey cold today. I'll go back to Earl Grey hot when it gets a little bit cooler. But I had posted, there was this great scene from Star Trek Picard, and he hit me up on the DM. He was like, man, I love Star Trek, and I had no idea, because, you know,
you got a guy.
You look at Dash, and you think, oh, that dude's super cool.
Oh, he's cool.
He's not geeking out on Star Trek stuff.
He's cool. He's handsome.
Yeah.
See, this is why I can't be a music programmer, because I would tell him to, yeah, interject some more of that Star Trek love into the top 40 over there. Make it your own.
And it's funny.
This next tune reminds me of when Riker was...
That's a good pull for you.
Thank you very much.
And when I was out...
Riker played on a Fish album.
Yeah,
you know,
he's a very talented musician.
What's his name? Jonathan Franzen? Frakes.
And
Jonathan
he's married to... No, he's married to Jeannie Francis from General Hospital.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not
so
know that.
While I was on my walk about this last time, Dash was walking out his studio too, and he had asked me a little bit about what's going on with Strange New Worlds. Anyway... All that to say, Braxton Jones.
The plane has been landed. All right, man, I got you. So Braxton is that dude. That's okay. And we'll have time to talk about, you know, whether the second round pick of Ozzie Trapillo is a worthwhile one. We'll check back like middle of the year. Let's see where we are. Because I think they still want him to win that job. I think they still...
I am convinced that they want him to win the job. And I think they're disappointed that they were able to make the decision that he wasn't going to win it so quickly.
Yeah, and that's okay. I mean, they get Brian Flores and that defense. And then they get Aiden Hutchinson off the edge. And then they get Micah Parsons, should he still be a Cowboy. And then they get Max Crosby, you know? So it's a pretty big first month to hand to a second-round pick. And maybe they'll wait.
One more Star Trek thing before we go to the running back conversation. Okay. Strange New Worlds is out right now. Season 3, Episode 7. You don't even necessarily have to watch the series. Watch that episode. It's one of the best episodes of any Star Trek show. There's a documentary that's done on Starfleet.
Okay.
It's really, really good.
All right, cool. Texture's asking you to drop your chess.com username. You okay with that?
Not yet.
Just going to keep that private.
Although Darnell, I kind of want to play Darnell because he dropped his in a video.
Darnell Mayberry?
Darnell Wright.
Oh, Darnell Wright.
Yeah, Darnell Wright is like anyone can get it. If you want to get on chess.com and you want to challenge Darnell,
well,
anyone can get it.
Go get him.
So, but you know.
Go chase him down.
It's better playing a real person, though. I will say that instead of just playing like someone you know versus.
Yeah.
Because people be cheating.
Anybody can get it, man. We ready.
Anybody can get it.
That's Grady Jarrett. What time did he say it was? It was a specific time, if memory served, here at football camp. Because, you know, things happen.
Time to get it?
Yeah, well, no. It was something else.
Is it time for the percolator?
No.
When you, this is the time where you, you know, it's time to get hard, time to really challenge yourself.
Oh,
that dude,
yes.
Likes, that dude likes football, man. He likes it a lot.
I just think he's entertaining.
He is. He's phenomenally entertaining.
We haven't gotten him, right? Our show doesn't. Someone should have Grady Jarrett, right?
Yes. Yes.
He should have a show.
We should have him. We should have everybody. That's my official stance. Any good or entertaining guest should be on this show. All right, so the other position that intrigues us both quite a bit is the running back room. You were out there in these streets, in the hallway, saying the Bears should trade for Brian Robinson.
Too late.
49ers did.
Yep.
Sixth round draft pick for Brian Robinson. That's Christian McCaffrey depth.
You want someone who runs tough near the goal line? It's that guy. That could have been someone they could have added to their running back room and instantly, like, the level of credibility for that is high.
Jamal Williams kind of guy, maybe?
Well, they did bring in Jamal Williams for a workout a couple weeks ago, and then I think he went, did he go to Miami, maybe? Or
I know
New
he's
Orleans?
Not with them. Yeah, he didn't sign with them. I'll check.
He's been around over the last couple of weeks.
Royce Freeman is here, right?
As yes.
A camp body who's played, I believe, for 8 different NFL teams.
And so it'll be interesting to see what do they value. That's what I keep coming. And it's part of our conversation with Kyle Manunga.
Yeah, but the thing is, right now, and I want to go further on what they value, but the situation right now, Roschon Johnson's been hurt. Kyle Manunga's been hurt. Even Travis Homer has been hurt.
You can't make the club in the tub.
So, like, and I would have assumed.
That's what they say, Sean.
I would assume that those, you know, those are three of your top five, you know?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
With the Andre Swift and then maybe Ian Wheeler. I'm one of those guys rooting for Ian Wheeler. I'm out here doing that.
What if Ian Wheeler is the reason that you have to pay for steak?
Because Kyle Manunga doesn't make the team.
Ian Wheeler goes off tonight, and they're like, we've made our decision.
For those who don't know, we made a bet. A tasty steak from the Firehouse in the South Loop will be bought by one of us for the other. If Kyle Manunga either makes the team, that's me, or Kyle Manunga gets cut. That was you a couple of weeks ago.
I realize that we should probably put a time on this, too. Because are we just talking initial roster? Because
53 man?
Because I would rather it be after week one.
Yeah, after week one. Let's wait till after week one.
So the Tuesday after week one, if he's still on the roster,
that's when we'll go.
That's a win for you.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's when we'll go. How about
that? You want that day?
How about that Tuesday night?
I think that works.
All right.
I think it works.
That'll be what? That'll be the 9th, September 9th.
Yeah, that should work.
You guys doing anything? Tanny, you want to come? Sean, I'd invite you, but Alex Kuhn is listening, and I don't want him to be upset.
Well, I don't think he'll have to worry about it, really, Alex, you know.
Why not?
Oh, sorry. Did I say that out loud?
That's what happens, Alex. That's what happens. This is why you don't listen. This is why you should not listen when you're off. So, all right. So, look, people are hurt, but back to what they value in terms of skill set and like the fit.
So, I think I understand a little bit. They like toughness, and that's them pushing. If you go to another position group and you go to Luther Burden, like Luther Burden's been getting the job done is catch and run.
Yeah.
But the reason that people are really talking about him over the last few days is because what he did as a blocker last week.
Yes.
So there's a toughness component to what it is that it seems like the Bears want. And then you add in that, and then you go, oh yeah, who's their running backs coach again?
Yeah, it's Eric Bieniemy.
So the toughness thing I think is pretty high on their list.
Well, how does that manifest with the guys involved? Bieniemy talked about DeAndre Swift in a way that was really interesting. Chris Emmer brought it to us as part of a Bears report, I believe it was last week, about the toughness he wants from DeAndre Swift as a runner. We know that Roschon Johnson historically has been a tough runner.
He's a tough player that lacks technique. That's the interesting thing about him. He doesn't have enough reps. Mm. He's still running very high.
And here he is hurt now. Last year there was a concussion, and he was wearing
the hat,
the helmet. He was wearing the you know that for a little while, which is always scary for me when it's a guy who really makes his money by being physical and aggressive, you know, a little bit.
Yes.
With Brisker, even though Brisker's not wearing it. I go back to hockey. I think of Brian Bickle. Remember Brian Bickle's career?
I do.
Career just went, you know, in a downward spiral when there were concussions, and he was kind of afraid to get in there and mix it in front of the net, to be in a net front presence.
So earlier today, Mike Mayock was on with Middays. It was a really great football conversation. I highly recommend using the rewind function on the Odyssey app for you to check the whole thing out. Here's what he had to say about the Bears running back room.
Apparently Ryan Poles is comfortable. You know, I think now is the time, this last couple of weeks, when every GM and every pro personnel department in the league are talking to each other on a daily basis. Hey, where are you strong? Where are you a little light? What do you need? You know, a small percentage of it comes out to the general public, like the Brian Robinson thing, especially when the team wants it to come out. But for the most part, we don't hear all that kind of stuff. And from my perspective, on the outside looking in, I go, yeah, I mean, outside of DeAndre Swift right now, the Bears have had a bunch of injuries in training camp at the running back position. So what do you really have? Are you happy with Roshan? You know, he's been kind of hurt. Manangai, the rookie seventh round pick, he's been hurt. But apparently the head coach and the GM have seen enough that they're comfortable that A, the injuries are short term, and B, when the season starts, they feel good about it. And I think one thing I can tell you about the running back position is typically if you're looking for a guy, it is one of the few positions where you can usually find one, regardless of when it is during the season.
So at any point during the season, you could go ahead and find yourself a guy. There are running backs who are usable on the couch, even during the season.
That's part of the reasoning. It's not because I'm rooting against Kyle Manungai, but that's part of the reasoning in making the bet against a seventh-round running back, is because there's a bunch of guys out there. And then, of course, then there's the guys that get cut. And then it's the veterans that you can sign that cost you more money if you sign them before week one versus what they cost after week one.
It's a damn shame when you're rooting for steak at the expense of a young player like that. It's a damn shame.
Steaks are good. And the firehouse is great.
It's true. Their meatloaf is excellent.
The beautiful thing about this bet is that neither one of us can lose.
I know. That's right. We get to hang out and have steak.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good.
It's neither one of us can lose. So that's a good thing. We need to take a break. We're excited. Our next guest, I can't remember the last time that Eddie Curry was on the station, and I'm kind of excited to talk to him about Bulls Fest, about what he's doing now, about his life.
And a little bit about when he was 18 and 19 and was talked about on this station.
Yeah.
You know, can you imagine coming right from high school and being discussed like a grown man who's supposed to know how to do all the grown-up things? It's crazy looking back a little bit.
Let's talk with Eddie Curry next here on The Score.
With the fourth pick in the 2001 NBA draft, the Chicago Bulls select Eddie Curry from Thornwood High School in South Holland, Illinois.
Nothing but a popular pick in the state of Illinois right there, I would say, as he goes to Chicago.
Well, this is a young, hungry team for the Chicago Bulls right now. Scott Skiles is telling them if they don't play hard, they're not going to play. So Eddie Curry makes another strong move that time.
Eddie! Yeah, he's on the money.
And it's tucked home by Curry.
Curry's going to throw up a jumper.
He hit it! Eddie Curry! Eddie Curry, and we're going to overtime.
Lob for Eddie Curry, and he hammers it down.
And they set it up offensively with Jalen Rose going to work. Steve to Curry, good one-hander in the lane.
Now Curry, and the lean on Sabonis. Eddie Curry, that tough fadeaway jumper, and it went down for him.
Williams penetrates, stepped up Eddie Curry, and one.
Eddie Curry continues his solid offensive night. Draining the jumper, he's got 20.
Now the ball is loose, then goes down and gets it. Lob for Eddie, inside, got it, got it in the foul.
Curry with 7 on the shot clock. Over O'Neal, nice shot and a foul.
Posting and toasting Shaq right there.
From Curry off to an auspicious beginning, taking it to Shaq.
The man in the middle.
Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons on the Score.
Well, this is great. We get the opportunity to talk with Eddie Curry. He joins us now here on the Circa Resort Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. And Eddie's here because Bulls Fest is this weekend. Bulls Fest 2025, presented by Foot Locker, is returning to the United Center this weekend, August 23rd and 24th. They started doing this a couple years ago. I really like it. There's a three-on-three tournament. There's a lot of cool stuff and a lot of ways you can hang out. Eddie, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. What are you going to be doing with Bulls Fest, if anything at all?
Man, I'll be all over the place, to be honest with you, man. I'll be greeting fans, taking pictures, signing babies or kissing babies, whichever one comes first. Yeah, I'll be reffing. You know, I'll be reffing at 3-on-3, man. So I definitely would encourage fans to come out, spend some time with us, man, and have a really good day with us.
So if you had to play right now at age 42 in the 3-on-3 or the 3-point challenge or the slam dunk contest, which is the best fit for Eddie Curry right now?
Give me that three-point shootout. I got that all day. Anything that requires like moving and jumping, not so much. But if I could, you know, I could knock down a few threes out there for sure.
Okay, so if you had a couple of, you can put a team of five together for the 3-on-3 because you need a couple of subs. Of all of the teammates that you play with in Dallas, in New York, in Miami, and in Chicago, who the other four players that are going to join you to be part of your 3-on-3 team?
The other four, I'm taking Kendall Gill because I know he's in great shape. So I'm going to need him to run around. I'm going to need Jamal Crawford for sure.
Ooh, he's a bucket.
He's ball ready. He's ready to go. I'm getting Ron Artest because I just got a feeling that nobody's going to want any mess with Artest. We'll call him Meta. Don't tell anybody I called him Ron. I'm sorry.
We won't.
And then I'm going to take, let me see, who would I take? I'm taking Kirk Heinrich. That's just my favorite Bulls player of all time. I'm taking Kirk.
Wow. Why is Kirk your favorite Bull?
That's just my guy, man. I just love Kirk from day one when he first came in, man. It's just something about him, his humbleness, man, his grittiness. He's just so cool, man. I just always love Kirk, man.
Yeah, you know, and when you talk about Meta or Ron Artest and Meta World Peace, I mean, you got me thinking about the personalities of the young men all in place there as you guys are trying to find your way in life. I can't imagine being in my 20s and trying to figure out how to live my life. And oh, by the way, under the glare of professional sports in a town like this, like you guys went through some stuff together, didn't you?
No, for sure. I mean, don't forget. I mean, I walked into a locker room with, you mentioned Meta, Jamal was there, but I also had Ron Mercer. I had Tyson, can't forget Tyson Chandler, my brother. You know, we had a really good team. Had Charles Oakley. We cannot forget Charles Oakley,
man. That's right.
So I think that's one of the things I always credited the Bulls for doing was, you know, they always made sure that we had the right people around us because they knew, you know, what we were walking into. As a young kid, you got the ego going. You think that this is just be an extension of what I've been doing so far. I was a star in high school. I'll just jump in and be a star in the league. And it just doesn't work that way for most guys. So I think they did a great job at surrounding us with those type of people, a lot of different personalities to really nurture us and get us to where we needed to be so that we can make the most out of our careers.
Now that you have the time to reflect on all of this stuff, because you're a kid, you're 18 when this stuff was going down, do you think that as someone who grew up here during the Jordan era, how has your perspective changed on what it is that you walked into being the person or one of the few people that's supposed to save the Bulls after the Jordan era?
I mean, at the time, it felt like, oh, of course I could do this. No problem. As I got older, as I spent more time in the league, and even as I've been out of the league and my workings with the NBPA, seeing young guys year after year, man, you understand just how incredible of a feat that was what the Bulls were able to do here with Michael Jordan and how it's next to impossible to repeat that.
So what kind of work are you doing with the NBPA, the National Basketball Players Association?
Yep, that's good. You're really good with letters.
With acronyms. So,
yeah. Yeah, you're a great acronym guy.
So, Thank you very much. Yeah, a lot of experience here, man.
Yeah, man. I work in player operations, man. So anything that the players encounter, anything that they deal with, any programming, You know, I see it first. I kind of give my eyes, my player perspective on it. And then just player engagement. You know, like I just came from the rookie transition program. We got a whole program, a three-day program where we try to, you know, arm guys with everything they need to know with the NBA. A lot of guys, you know, they think it's just about, you know, toss the ball out and play. But getting guys to deal with, you know, the real side of it, what to expect, how to communicate with coaches, decision-making, what to do in your downtime, you name it. We try to really cover every corner and nook and cranny of what you might deal with in the NBA.
When we look back, because Spiegs and I were here. We were also growing up here at this radio station while you were growing up and you and Tyson were growing up on the floor. Looking back at you guys' careers, you both end up with NBA championships. You had a really incredible run of success as a player, as a Knick. And I wonder, when was the moment when you felt like all of that stuff that I thought when I was at Thornwood, all of that stuff that I went through in Chicago, I'm now that player that I always thought I could be?
Yeah, I think I had a year in New York where it was like, all right, Eddie, this is your team. You're going to get most of the shots, and we're going to go as you go. And I really got a glimpse at what it really took to be that guy, to be the focal point of defenses going into games, to being prepared, to just living up to expectations. I think that's when it all kind of came together for me. I wish I could have done it at that level for longer, but I definitely got a taste of it for sure.
Yeah, 19.5 points per game that year, 06-07, and 7 rebounds. I was looking, you had 43 one night. You know,
yeah.
I mean, like, what does that feel like to put up 43 in an NBA game?
To put up
game?
Moses Malone numbers?
Yeah, just know to know you're the best and most dominant player on the floor with the best in the world.
That's unreal, man. That's one of those things that you just don't forget. I mean, going back to that game, I mean, everything was going right to the point where I even hit a game tying three to go into overtime. Like, how does that happen? So it's just one of those things, man. You put the work in, man, and you just try your best to be ready for the moment. And then when that moment comes, you try to just take it.
I got to tell you, I was a little surprised you chose the three-point contest. Considering the career stats, if I'm reading this right, 2-for-2 lifetime from the three-point line.
Yeah, but he told you why.
Yeah.
100%.
He told you why he's not trying to move. That's what
I know. But like, so do you shoot? Do you shoot now? Do you shoot threes every once in a while? What do we do here?
Come out here tomorrow, and we'll figure it out.
You know what? You know, I'll think about it. I'll think about it.
The Bulls Fest is a really cool thing. I'm glad that they are bringing a bunch of alumni back and to be a part of it. And this mentoring that you're doing, whether it's with the NBPA or tomorrow and this weekend with Bulls Fest, what does it do for you? I know what you're saying it does for other people, but what does it do for you?
It's fulfilling, right? I mean, I get a chance to be around the game, first of all. I get to come to Chicago in terms of the Bulls Fest and the many things I do with the Bulls. I mean, to come to Chicago to still be a part of this incredible organization, I mean, that's incredible. And then with the PA, I mean, to really be instrumental and just the foundation that these guys are like when they come into the league, and to be a part of that foundation, to be a part of, you know, who they'll ultimately become, not even just as a basketball player, but just as a young man, man. I think that's very important. I was that guy sitting in that crowd, sitting in front of the panelists, and you know, just taking in all of the education that they were giving us. I wish I would have listened a little bit more, honestly. But I think that perspective is what I bring to the NBPA. So I understand when guys are nodding a little bit, and I'm able to tap them on their shoulder and say, hey, man, this is the part you really need to hear, because you don't want to be that guy. So for me, like I said, it's multifaceted. I get to be around the game, but I also get to speak to that younger player who used to be myself.
Eddie Curry is with us here on the Spiegel and Holmes Show. on 670 The Score. And Lawrence mentioned it, man. I mean, both of us go back to the 90s at this radio station. And it was 820, and then it was 1160 before it was 670. But you got a rough ride on this station for a while. Did you ever listen? Did you ever know about it? Did you ever hear about it when we were the only sports talker in town?
To be honest, not really, man. You know, as a kid, especially in what, early 2000s, I was listening to CDs. I wasn't really listening to radio, to be honest with you. I had an idea of what was being said because my friends would always bring it to me. But for the most part, man, I really tried to stay away from the media when it came to, like, what are they saying about you? And whether it was good or bad, I just tried to, you know, run my race. And I tried to tackle what was in front of me and not really be distracted by what was going on the outside, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, like, there was one moment where I think Scott Skiles was on this station with a former host, and he was asked, what does Eddie Curry need to do to rebound?
Dunk. Dunk. I heard that one. That echoed for miles and miles. I heard that one for sure. And he was right. I ain't gonna lie. He was right.
Oh, was he really?
He was right. 1,000%. Because he would show me on film. He's like, Eddie, I just don't. He would literally rewind it over and over. Why wouldn't you just jump here? Why wouldn't you? I'm like, I don't know, man. Maybe it's something up here. I got to figure it out. I don't know.
Wow. I always thought that was just him taking a shot at you, but he actually meant jump. He was serious.
Oh, he
about
meant
that.
It. And he probably was taking a shot too, for sure. Skiles was that kind of guy. But no, shout out to Scott Skiles, man. Skiles was amazing, man. I wish we would have had like the access on a practice court so y'all could have saw some of the other stuff. Cause I can guarantee you it got a lot crazier than just jump, for sure.
Oh, really? Yeah, but entertaining guy, right? Interesting.
Very entertaining, but very necessary, especially at that time. You know, for a young team, we had a lot of talent, and we didn't have any clue of what it took to really be in the NBA. And I think that was an incredible moment for all of our careers, for him to come in and just realign what we had going on to corral us and get us on that pro level and help us to understand what it takes to stay in this league.
I got to tell you, Eddie, you sound great, man. You sound like an adult. You sound like somebody who's been through a lot of stuff.
You already gave away my age. You told him I'm 42. I should know how to talk a little bit right now.
Yeah,
right?
No, but it's not just the talking. It's that
you sound healed. That's what it is.
That's it.
Yeah.
It comes through. It's really beautiful. Like I'm an old man now, so I get teary eyed. And believe me, it's hard as an HF guy to give credit to anyone from Thornwood. But like seeing some of these guys that are contemporary around our age and seeing them grow up, seeing Derrick Rose grow up the way that he has, and seeing Eddie like grow up and be okay, like it's beautiful. Like, I think that's what Speaks is getting at, man.
It absolutely is, and it
takes a lot to kind of get to that place. So how did you? Because there's a lot of stuff that happened, a lot of trauma that you had to deal with. How did you get through it?
I think that's a credit to a few things. I think the NBA as a whole does a great job at really putting their arms around guys. I think the Knicks did a great job at doing that. I credit the Bulls for, you know, being there for me at times when I needed them, you know, and when I'm trying to figure out what's next in life, what am I doing? I mean, and my wife, I mean, yesterday we celebrated our 20th year anniversary together. That overlaps a lot of that trauma and a lot of that crazy stuff that people read about. So, you know, it's a lot, man. It's a lot. Prayer, you know, definitely can't do it without God. You know what I'm saying? But as a whole, I mean, I always been that, you know, I kind of always just think, like, live on the bright side. Look at the bright side. I had an incredible life. The things that I've been able to achieve, the things that I've been able to see. I got to put on a Chicago Bulls jersey. Like, that's crazy for a kid from Chicago to think that that's even a possibility. It's crazy, man. So I can't let the bad stuff kind of overshadow the incredible run of, like miracles and just incredible things that I've been able to accomplish and see. I can't let that overshadow that.
I'm glad you're a mentor, man. Glad you're working with those young guys. It's beautiful to hear you. Making me want to come out tomorrow, the 23rd and the 24th, Bulls Fest 2025, presented by Foot Locker at the United Center. And when can we shoot threes? What time of day is good for you, Eddie?
If you pull up, we're going to stop everything and it's on. It's on and pop as soon as you pull up.
All right, I'm in. I'll find you.
Eddie, this was delightful, man. Continued success and healing, and thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you. It's Eddie Curry.
That was great.
Man. Jump reached him. It had an echo.
That's really great.
Unbelievable. Wow.
That's really great. Because he's been through so much.
Yeah, dude. There was health. There was like crime perpetrated upon him. There was all kinds of stuff. So
and he comes out here and he sounds like that.
Yeah,
and that's
just struck by it.
Yeah,
you know,
it's you're right to point it out, and you're not the only one.
Like, yeah,
people as they're listening to it, like they feel great about that, and it's feel great about someone who has been able to have a life like that, and considering the fishbowl that he was in and the pressure that was on him and Tyson Chandler when they were drafted.
Yeah, man, they were supposed to change it around and the whole thing. Tim Floyd telling you, I am not Jerry Krause's boy, okay? And we all knew he was Jerry Krause's boy.
And how about at the end of it, Tyson and Eddie end up with championship rings?
Yeah, yeah, it's insane. And Eddie had that good chapter that he had in New York when Isaiah Thomas was there.
Yeah.
Like, you think about Isaiah as a disaster for the Knicks, and he was in a lot of ways.
He was.
Yeah.
He was very destructive.
Yeah.
And Eddie ends up having a season where he averages 20 points a game. Like, that's dope. And like you said, have a game where you're...
43!
Yeah. You're doing Moses and Wilt type stuff. Yeah,
but that's the thing. Like, I remember a game in college where we were running full court, and I was just feeling it. And I was balling out, and I was the best player on the floor, you know? And just that feeling, like, there were good players who were like, yeah, man, you're on it today. Like, you just got it. Like, that feeling. He had that on an NBA floor. Well, and you got that for the rest of your life.
You need to bring that to Bulls Fest tomorrow when you go shoot with Eddie Curry. we're going to take a break. Something that probably hasn't been said about the Bears in a long time was said last week. You're not going to believe it. It's next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We cook through a hot grease now, man.
Afternoons on The Score.
I didn't bring up grit in Chicago. I'm not going to. That's a word for Detroit. They're going to keep that there in Detroit. We're going to have our own version of Chicago tough, if you will.
Oh, hell yeah. Chicago tough. I love Chicago tough.
That's Kenny Williams's line.
Well, I'll take it, man. Good for Kenny. If that's where that comes from, I remember the early days, or my early days.
You better stay out of our business. You better stay out of White Sox business.
Well, Kenny, in this case, I will not, sir. I will not. Remember, like some of the most brutal snowstorms where many hosts didn't get here? I remember getting here one day.
Wow. Did you just go Barry Horowitz right now and pat yourself on the back?
I got here, and I was like, you know why? You know why I'm here? Because I'm Chicago tough. That's right. Made my way.
Longtime blue collar guy. Mm-hmm. Lunch pail type guy.
That's right.
We got over here.
Get to my cushy radio station job in the middle of a terrible snowstorm. Meanwhile, McNeil couldn't back his van out of the driveway.
I mean,
I think.
Stuff like that happens.
Well, yeah.
Did it happen to DeAndre Ayton? Was that what happened to him in Portland? Where the ice was so bad he couldn't get his car out of the driveway?
Yeah, I think both of those people didn't really want to go where they were supposed to go. That's just my guess.
Wow.
One of them for sure. I'll leave that up to your imagination.
It's just that when you think about it, from where Mac lives...
Oh, sure. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's right.
Probably the infrastructure, not as great as like Chicago to get the plows up and going before.
It's just some days, man, the mic could have been in the basement. You know what I mean? And we would have had a hard time getting there. That's all I'm saying.
Wow. Jeez. You talk about a guy who's close to getting to his vacation. It's this guy right here.
I really am.
Jeez.
I really am.
1 foot out the door, man.
No radio for me until the 31st of August after today. But it's, you know, it's been a big week, been a busy week, but thanks for asking, Coach. I'll be on the East Coast driving around, seeing some beauty.
It's a good thing.
Upstate New York, Western Massachusetts, Southern Vermont, you know,
he's going to be part of Bill's Mafia. That's what he's doing. He's going to go break through some tables anyway.
Any hoodles.
So Aaron Brewer. From the Dolphins?
He's on the Dolphins.
He's very upset at how tough the Bears were in their joint practice, where you know you're supposed to be tough because you're going against another team.
Definitely a joint practice with Chicago. I feel like they were like some BS, you know what I'm saying? Because they was out there tackling and this and that. So it was like fake physicality, you know what I'm saying? Like they out there playing tackle football and everybody else was out there playing like 7-on-7 or something like that. It's fake physicality, and you kind of seen that when we went out there and played in a real game.
Man, So the Bears are that team now. The Bears are that team that's out there actually tackling people when poor little Mr. Brewer was thinking it was going to be like 7-on-7.
I haven't checked the Circa app yet for first fired coach. But if I were going to bet on the Circa app on first fired coach,
wow,
Mike McDaniel would be my choice. And it pains me to say that because I think he's brilliant. But I think that something's broken there and he's going to get blamed for it.
You should stand corrected. Good morning. False. Great morning. Let's go.
Why great?
Hmm?
What makes this one great?
Because we're another day closer to death.
See? So, yeah, that would be my bet. You got the quarterback saying that he's not on the same page with the star receiver. You got guys being like, they're too physical for us in practice.
They play football hard. I don't like that.
I like that the Bears are the team that.
That's what I'm saying, man. Why can't we be the team that plays until the echo of the whistle?
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Go ahead. Put the fear of God into some people. And that's it kind of fits what Jalen was saying earlier on the podcast clip we played. He loves the way they're going. The Dennis Allen's got them going hard.
That's what Grady said. Why don't we talk with Dan Wiederer about all of this as the Bears get ready for their first, their last preseason game, and we get our chance to do a Bears report with Weedsy now that he's got a new job. He's going to explain where you can find his work and what he thinks of where the Bears are at next here on The Score.